Okay.
Thank you.
So tonight I want to share some tips on living God's Word. Okay, some practical things. And this one I'm going to share with you is very simple. I'm almost embarrassed to share it with you. And probably I wouldn't be surprised if many of you do this anyway. As far as, you know, what you do to live the Word, to have that wonderful fellowship with the Heavenly Father. This morning, was it yesterday or the, I think it was yesterday. You know, in the morning when you wake up and you're kind of half there, half awake, and you're still in bed, and you're kind of just, okay, am I really going to get up? Or do you want to see if I can zonk off for another 30, 40 minutes? And that's just thoughts. You know, usually my normal morning pattern is I get up, I fumble around a little bit, make my way to the kitchen, push the hot water heater thing, and get a cup of hot tea, make my way to this chair, and then I'll start praying a little bit. Kind of typical. But I you know, I was laying there and I said, you know, I should start talking to the Father right off the bat. Why not? So I started speaking in tongues, and I was so blessed, and I was much more energized when I got out of bed and got my tea and sat in my chair. Because I thought, this is what I'm going to do this. I'm going to make a habit of this. Once I have my cognizant awareness, I'm awake, I'm going to speak in tongues and talk to my Father. And I don't know why I haven't done that in earlier times. I mean, there have been times where I've probably done that, but I'm thinking, okay, this is a habit I want to start, that I want to do, that will really, I believe, enhance my relationship with my Father, because I'm going to get him engaged right off the bat before I have my cup of tea. So what do you think? Sound like a
excellent.
Not a bad idea, and probably some of you do this anyway. Which is great, which is great. You know, I asked Jeannie, I was telling Jeannie this, and she's always got some great tips on living the Word of God. And so you want to share what you have, honey?
Yeah, we're talking about living, how to live the Word. Last week I shared on every day enjoying our Father's presence and looking at joy and how having that Word in our lives brings us great joy. And today I was thinking about living is giving. If we're not giving, then we're not really living. And I actually have a little handout and for everyone here.
I'll do that.
Yeah. So this Bob Tomei is short, so we're going to read it here.
Come on.
Christian giving expresses our Heavenly Father's own heart, and the greatest giver there is our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
He gives us intangible spiritual treasures: life, love, truth, fruit of the Spirit. His gifts are inexhaustible. You can never run out of them. He will never run out of them. Every good gift we possess has come special delivery from the Father above. The basic biblical principle for a blessed life is whatever our Father has given us will be used for His glory when we freely give it back to Him for others' benefit.
That's great.
The gospel was given to share. Christian giving is the will of the Father. And, of course, we all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. He gave His only begotten Son. That is His mode of operation, is giving. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. And his gifts are not relational to our behavior. You know, I was a good girl today, so God's going to bless me. No, it's relational to the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the price, so everything that God has promised in his word is for each one of us, no matter what's going on in our lives. But he can't force them on us. We have to choose, accept them. James 1:18 says, this was his free will that he gave us birth as sons. Romans 8:32 says, will he not also with him freely give us all things? All the things, Romans 8 is tremendous on all the things that God has done for us. And Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given unto you. Mm-hmm. You know, God will freely, all that he has freely given us, he wants us to give. Matthew 10:1-8. And Jesus gave them power and authority over unclean spirits to heal. Heal the sick, raise the dead. Freely ye have received, freely give. We have so freely received, it didn't cost us anything, but that accepting Jesus as our Lord. And so we have been so blessed that it's his will that we give, that we follow in his footsteps. So I have a couple
homework
assignments for you. Write out some of the good gifts your Heavenly Father has given you. And second, now ask him how you can freely give to bless others. And as you use these gifts and blessings to serve others, you will experience the blessed life.
Love it.
So.
Thank you, honey.
Thank you.
Yeah. There's a song I want to play for you now. And it's a wonderful song about what we can do to help somebody.
I can help somebody as I pass along. If I can cheer somebody with a word or song. I can show somebody he is traveling wrong, then my living shall not be. As I pass along, then my living shall not be in vain. If I can do my duty as a Christian ought, if I can bring message as the Master taught, then my living shall not be in vain. Then my living shall not be in vain.
Bob, would you have a word of prophecy, please?
My beautiful, beloved children, I, your Heavenly Father, love you with an unbelievable, unknowable amount of love, because you are my children. I sacrificed my only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, for you. So know that there's nothing I will withhold from you. I will bless you every single day of your life as you look unto me and believe my word.
Yeah, and Tom, word of prophecy.
Know that the great God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has you tightly in the palm of his hands and will never let you go. He will always, always keep his hands around you. Whatever step you take, wherever you find yourself, whether you're on the open seas or whether you're hiking up a big mountain, he will be there and he will keep you safe.
Yeah. Amen. Beautiful words, huh? God knows how to say it, huh? Touch their heart with that. Man, oh man. What a family we got, huh? What a father. Demon, Nettie.
No kidding.
It gets just too good sometimes, I think. I don't know. Wow. Well, I want to do a little sharing with you. I think you've heard me mention a gentleman that lives in Australia that touched my life back in probably 1968, actually, when I was first getting to the Word. And he read a book by a man of God on the Holy Spirit field. He was in Australia. He's from there. And he read this book by Dr. Victor Paul Wirwell on Holy Spirit Today. What is that?
Receiving
the Holy Spirit Today. And it touched his life. It changed his life. He contacted him, came all the way with his wife and two little boys to Ohio to learn more and be a part of the work of the ministry. And he was there a year or two. And I met him at summer camp, I think in 1968. And he helped me manifest tongues of interpretation and prophecy. I had spoken in tongues the summer before. And so when I went there the next summer, I was able to learn how to do that. And he was one that really helped me. And some other things, too. But his name is Peter Wade. He still is ministering. He's 86 years old or something, in Australia, of course, now. And he does, and he's got some connections here in San Jose where people help him do a blog, I guess, a weekly or monthly blog where he has his teachings. He's written a number of great books, but he did this little sharing called Nothing.
Nothing.
So let me share it with you. About nothing. One may think nothing can be said. It does look like an unlikely subject for a teaching, but Plato would disagree. He said, I am the wisest man alive, for I know one thing, and that is that I know nothing. Around the year 1600, Shakespeare wrote a play, a famous play. What is it? Much to do about nothing. A modern author, Jared Kentz, wrote, if you have nothing, then you have everything, because you have the freedom to do anything without the fear of losing something. Casting the net. In the method of Bible teaching called word study, we follow one word in the Bible and discover its usage and hopefully an application or two. I am noted for teaching that we should read the Bible how it is written, just like we read any other book, line by line, paragraph by paragraph. However, there are some subjects that require a topical approach. And then there are word studies, biographical studies, and so on. Let's try out the word study method in the New Testament with the word nothing. In the King James New Testament, there are 115 nothings.
Really?
So,
wow.
And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. This is nothing of self-effort. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Whether it be in business or employment or in church growth or biblical understanding, we have all been there and know the helplessness a feeling we haven't advanced or improved at all. In this case, Simon Peter, James, John had fished all night without any fish in the bottom of the boat to sell or eat. In the previous verse, Jesus had told Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. If we know what God says about a situation, then we'll know plenty. Now, we are starting to learn something. Jesus had said there are fish out there. Mm-hmm. So just go back out and let down your nets. Peter first considered this his vast knowledge of fishing on the Sea of Galilee. I mean, Peter was very experienced. But then something clicked, or he got a revelation from God. He declared, quote, but at your word, I will let down the net. A helpless yet experienced fisherman plus the Son of God equals success every time if you fulfill his conditions.
Very good.
Later in the Gospel of John, Jesus told his disciples, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing.
You can read it and listen to everything.
It's
nothing.
Oh, my goodness. Which road is traveled? There are two roads to travel, the road of self-effort or the road of reliance on Christ as a branch of the true vine.
Yeah.
You make the decision. So how's nothing looking to you right now? I trust you see it as an opportunity. Let's take another usage. Quote, and he, Jesus, said to them, the 12 disciples, When I sent you out with no money back or knapsack or sandals, did you lack anything? They said, nothing. Luke 22:35. This is the nothing of complete supply.
Wow.
The incident is given in Matthew chapter 10, where Jesus sent out the disciples to conduct healing revivals, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't have nothing of themselves, but they had everything with the Lord and Savior working with them. Okay, here we go. The 12 disciples believed what Jesus said, went out and discovered that without the presence of Jesus, they could still use his power, and that everyday physical needs were supplied, for they lacked
nothing.
If God did this for the disciples, surely he will do as much for us New Testament believers who have been granted, quote, all things that pertain to life and godliness, 2 Peter 1:3. Quote, who are being blessed in Christ with all every spiritual blessing, Ephesians 1:3, and then who are in truth complete in him, Colossians 2:10. We can do a lot with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, one more verse. The nothing of self-assessment, Paul wrote, for I was not at all inferior to these super apostles, even though I am nothing. The signs of a true apostle were performed among you with utmost patience, with signs and wonders and mighty works. This is 2 Corinthians 12:11-12. The Message Bible reads, you know from personal experience that even if I'm a nobody, a nothing, I wasn't second rate compared to those big shot apostles you're so taken with. And he goes on to say, it is dangerous to believe your own publicity.
Wow.
Because you might know the word better than most, because you might have healed the sick and cast out demons, because you might have brought many people to a new life in Christ, just like Paul, yet without total reliance on God, you too are nothing. Look at the nothing uses in 1 Corinthians 13:2-3. Let's open your Bibles, if you would, and let's take a look at this. We're going to close here, but 1 Corinthians 13.
Love it.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 13:2-3.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, and though I have the King James says, gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and have not what?
Love.
Charity, which is the love of God, I am nothing. Boy, how big is the love of God, huh?
Yes.
And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, which is the love of God, it profiteth me
nothing.
So, about nothing, a lot can be said. Learn from these incidents how to serve and worship God better, and rely on him to make something out of your life. Everybody is a somebody with God.
Yeah.
Amen?
I like Amen. The 1 Corinthians 13, first verse.
Yes.
Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as soundless brass or a tinkling cymbal.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, speaking in tongues. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
It's a big deal. You know, God uses that in the Word to highlight the love of God.
Yeah.
And so speaking in tongues is really magnified in that verse, though a lot of people look at it differently. Because the verse goes on to say, if I heal people, if I give money to the poor, I do all these good works. And in that long list, the first thing is speaking in tongues. Mm-hmm. And so many people use that in a negative sense, or, well, speaking in tongues is not important. You're just a sounding brass, you know, tinkling cymbal. Well, yeah, but look at the context on how it builds on these other great acts of believing God and doing signs, wonders, and miracles. It's all about the love of God. Well, amen, huh? Amen.